The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. For the last several programs, we have been looking at a group of organisms that fall within what is known as the phylum Mollusca. Many of these are animals that most folks really, I'm sure, have never seen and really have no idea what they are when you name them, Monoplacophora being an example of that. But we've talked primarily about those that people are familiar with, and for the last couple of programs have been looking at the bivalve mollusks. Valve here simply means a shell, so a bivalve mollusk would be an organism that has two shells. And most people, I would assume, probably are familiar with them. Clams, mussels, oysters, etc. They are edible, and many folks, I'm sure, eat them regularly. But these are the organisms we have been talking about. And we have seen, among other things, that they are quite numerous. I have seen figures for the number of clam species, something like 20,000 different kinds of clams. That seems a little high to me, but I'm certainly not an expert in this particular group of organisms, so I simply relate that to you. We noted when we began discussing the phylum Mollusca that it is the second largest of the animal phyla. The largest one, of course, would be Arthropoda, and we will talk about the organisms in that phylum hopefully in the not distant future. So we're looking, the last program we had talked particularly about the shellfish, noted some of their unique characteristics, some of their unusual abilities. We have observed that there is no evidence either in nature today or in the fossil record that there has been any reproductive link between the orders of organisms even within the class Pelecypoda. Pelecypoda just means hatchet-footed, and this is the name of one of the names for the phylum, Bivalvia being one, means hatchet-footed. And if you live around the ocean, as many of you do, you have probably observed the fact that most of these organisms have the ability, if they're on the sand, top of the sand, they can bury themselves very, very rapidly, and particularly the smaller ones, you blink your eye and they're going to be gone, and you wonder what happened to them. But this muscular foot is simply one of the unique characteristics, and there simply is no fossil that could be really an organism that connects this group of organisms with those that were supposed to have preceded it. And there certainly are no other organisms that we know about in nature that have the same characteristics, same structure, same ability, etc. It was interesting to me, therefore, when I ran across an article in which the title of the article was "An Ancient Clam is a Missing Link." Well, if it's a clam, then it obviously isn't linking it to something else. It is that rather than being some kind of organism intermediate between clams and something else. But at any rate, I wanted to make a couple of comments about some of the statements that were in the article. This appeared in Science News back in 1973. It was written by a man by the name of John, I don't know how to pronounce his name, it's Pojeta, whether it's Pojeta or Pojeta or some other name, I'm not sure, but at least that's the proper spelling. And one of the early statements that he made in the article simply is that a missing link has been found for clams. Again, my observation is that if it's a clam, it's hardly a missing link. But at any rate, the article goes on, "The fossilized clam, unearthed about 10 miles south of Albany, New York, is estimated to be about 570 million years old, some 70 million years older than any previous reported." Now, let me interrupt this for a moment. I suspect if it had not been for the strata that it was found in, I suspect if it had not been for the date that is 570 million years old, it would not be considered a missing link. But that's neither here nor there. And it's also interesting to note that this puts it then within the Cambrian strata and is simply repeated evidence of the fact that there were mollusks that were present at the time of the Cambrian strata. For those of you that have listened for any length of time, the Cambrian strata is the first geologic strata where you find unquestioned organisms, fossils of organisms. It is dated variously from 550 up to 600 million years ago, having occurred, begun at that time. So, regardless of whether it's a missing link or not, it is another example of mollusks, clams in this case, which are found back at a time when some evolutionists would argue there should only be unicellular animals, amoeba, paramecia, etc., and algae of some kind. So you have fossil representatives for the bivalve mollusks in fossil strata that is dated, according to this gentleman, 570 million years ago. Now, back to the article. Known as, and the genus name here is Fordilla. If it is pronounced as a Latin name, it is not Fordilla, it would be Fordilla. Fordilla troiensis. And the Troy, I'm sure, is taken from the name of one of the towns in that section of New York. So I'm going to pronounce it Fordilla. Fordilla troiensis. It appears to be a missing link between some extinct forms of mollusks and the 20,000 species of clams living in the world today. Again, I've already made an observation about that twice, I think, and we won't pursue it. Just on the surface, it does not appear to me to be a missing link, but at any rate, it appears to be a missing link between some extinct forms of mollusks and the 20,000 species of clams living in the world today, says John Pogeta, Jr. of the U.S. Geological Survey. Pogeta and Bruce Runniger, formerly of the Smithsonian Institution, report the find in the May 25th Science. Again, this is 1973. An odd significance of the discovery is that Fordilla troiensis had no teeth. Now, this may seem to be a tempest in a teacup to some of you. Many folks, most folks probably are not aware of the fact that most of the clams that we have today do have teeth. They're not teeth like your teeth, but they are effective for what the clam needs them for. But this organism, according to the men that found it, had no teeth. I continue now with their comments. Although some modern clams are able to survive without teeth, Pogeta says, the descendants of the toothless Fordilla probably developed such teeth during this next 70 million years as a means of surviving in an increasingly more competitive and complex world. Now, let me remind you of a couple of things here about this. Evolution, presumably, is going to be responsible for the addition of new characteristics, the appearance of new characteristics. Here is a clam which is supposed to be ancestral to the modern clams, but it has no teeth. Now, the last statement indicates that the men who found it were under the impression that the ancestor of this particular organism had teeth, and that for whatever reason it lost those teeth. And then, during the supposed 70 million years that passed from the time that this particular specimen was alive until those that are our modern kinds of clams, apparently it regrew them. So you had a missing link, an ancestor with no teeth, that would produce organisms that over some 70 million years would have produced teeth. Now, if nothing else, this is simply the opposite of what evolution requires. Why did the initial one not have teeth, or why had it lost teeth? And it makes no sense from an attempt to make evolutionary sense out of it. Now, let me read the rest of the article here. The apparent evolution and subsequent recession of teeth, indicating that this species, Troiensis, presumably had teeth and then lost them, and then over 70 million years, there was a reappearance of teeth as they appear in our modern clams. Now, we've talked about this kind of thing repeatedly. In order for there to be a structure, teeth in this case, there must be a change in genetic material, just as there must have been a change in genetic material to have caused the original clam to lose the teeth, then there has to be a replacement of that, an addition to that genetic material that would in fact have produced teeth as we see them in modern clams. And there is no, obviously, no experimental evidence for any of this kind of thing. Not the original, the ancestor to this species that presumably had teeth, which is missing. There is no answer to that. There is no basis other than the necessary evolutionary assumption that this toothless clam over 70 million years produced the type of clams that we have today with their teeth. The apparent evolution and subsequent recession of teeth suggests that the evolutionary history of clams is even more complex than we thought. And I think I could change the wording a bit. It causes problems. This is the reason for the notion that it's more complex. So, what we find here is simply an interesting article that appeared in Science News. It really does not aid the difficulties of the evolutionist. It really does not present, it is not an organism that solves the major kinds of difficulties that plague an evolutionary look at the phylum Mollusca. We will talk about that a little bit after we have talked about the rest, the other class within the phylum, the one that contains oysters, contains squid, octopus, and chambered nautilus would probably be the most well-recognized ones. When we have discussed these organisms, then we will go back and look a little bit at some of the problems for an evolutionist is trying to provide an evolutionary explanation for them. But at any rate, for the present, we find a very unusual group of organisms, a varied group of organisms, that simply do not have the ability presently to reproduce with one another. There is no actual organism, either fossil or in nature, which would serve as ancestors to these organisms. And so we find them simply present in nature today, present in the fossil record, and nothing that would provide any sort of a sensible connection for the evolutionist to try and have an organism that might have given rise just to the clams, the bivalve mollusk, let alone all of the other classes of organisms that we've looked at in the phylum itself.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.